What if all the schools suddenly closed?
In a matter of a few days, I had to completely kind of flip the way that I teach. It really just took some time for me to understand that this is the new reality that was about to take place.
It is really weird walking around here. Kids are supposed to be running through the halls.
That's my new teaching classroom, is my dining room table.
I think the hardest part for me and my classmates has been, you're not used to doing this much at your house.
You don't get to like play with your friends or anything.
I think we're in uncharted territory.
Those are voices of Mullen Public Schools educators, parents, and students. I'm Mike Tobias, NET producer and host of What If, our television program on innovation and creativity in Nebraska. This is Remote Learning in Remote Nebraska, a special What If documentary for NET Radio. Innovation and lots of problem solving became a necessity this spring when COVID-19 closed schools. We'll follow Mullen's journey into this uncharted territory.
This is Mr. Kinzel. Hey, good, Mike. What's going on, man?
Telling the story with phone interviews, audio from Zoom and cell video, and other ways of hearing and seeing what they're doing, because COVID-19 impacts how we do things, too. There are stories like this in school districts throughout Nebraska. In many ways, Mullen's story is also their story. But there's stuff that makes it a little different. Before we talk education, let's take a quick trip to the Sand Hills. It's calving season on the Phipps family ranch. One calf is struggling, so grade schoolers Kaisley and Kendall hold and feed it by bottle. Brett Phipps grew up on this ranch. It's been in his family for generations. He met Jordan, a Lincoln native, when she was taking vet tech classes in Curtis, and he was working in North Platte, an hour or so south of the ranch.
We have four kids together. Kaisley, a third grader. Kendall is in kindergarten. Grady's in preschool. And Emerson just turned a year here in April. Our kids, Kendall and Kaisley, go to school in Mullen, and Grady goes to school in Hyannis.
Time for a geography lesson. The Sand Hills are about 20,000 square miles of sand dunes, covering about a fourth of Nebraska. Imagine a triangle in the middle of this. The Phipps Ranch is at the top point, Hyannis, town with their preschool, the bottom left, and Mullen, where two others go to school, the bottom right. It's a big triangle.
Oh, it takes us about 45 minutes to get to Hyannis or so, and about an hour to get to Mullen.
They're 2 hours from the nearest hospital or Walmart, and getting the two oldest kids to school in Mullen usually means...
We wake the kids up around 5:45 in the morning. The school bus doesn't come to our house because the school bus route between our neighbors and us is actually a trail road.
Brett often has chores that direction, so he drives the kids to the neighbor's house on that sandy 5-mile trail road, still beat up from last year's flooding. There's 6 barbed wire cattle gates to open along the way. The kids catch the bus at 6:25, get back off at 4:20.
Mullen is a huge district.
Chris Kunsel is Mullen Public Schools superintendent.
We're bigger than the state of Rhode Island, you know, our square mileage.
So the Phipps family story isn't unusual. Some ranch families keep a separate house in town to cut down on long school commutes. There's a lot of ranch families among the 157 Mullen students. There's also golf families, because two high-end golf resorts are out here, including the Sand Hills Golf Course, currently ranked as the 14th best course in the world by golf.com. There's also people who work in telecommunications, own small businesses, plenty of teachers with students at the school. Things quickly changed for all these families 1 week in March. Kunsel walks the main hallway of Mullen's single-story building for grades 6 through 12. Full trophy cases and tall blue lockers line the walls in between classroom doors. You don't hear Thursday morning school sounds. You don't hear much of anything.
It is really weird walking around here. Kids are supposed to be running through the halls.
The silence started when Bronco athletes were trying to add to that trophy collection. The previous weekend, the girls' basketball team finished third at state. A Wednesday pep rally sent the boys' team to Lincoln for an early Thursday first-round game, fans to follow. At the same time, COVID-19 spread was rapidly shutting down sports like the NBA and NCAA basketball tournament. Kunsel learned the boys' high school tournament would be played with only family watching.
That was probably the first glimpse of all of a sudden, this is getting serious. This is hitting our area. Then that weekend kind of hit. We got back from state basketball, and all of a sudden, everybody's canceling school for the week.
Mullen canceled school on Monday and brought teachers in for an 8:30 meeting. At this point, there were barely any confirmed COVID cases in Nebraska, but there were concerns. Lots of Mullen families had been at the girls' tournament in Lincoln, where one fan from another school tested positive. And a dozen Mullen students had just returned from a Methodist leadership conference in Colorado, a COVID hotspot.
And it was unanimous. We got to close, you know, that day.
It really just took some time for me to understand that this is the new reality that was about to take place,
says Jordan Phipps.
And it really went from see you next week to see you next fall.
Now, what to do and how to do it? No school had a close the doors and teach everyone remotely manual just sitting on the shelf. The Mullen District had a couple of good starting points. First, every student was already assigned a Chromebook through a school and grant-funded program. Second, some Mullen teachers were already trained in using a blended education model of teaching and learning that involves more use of online interaction and materials.
The one consistent thing was, you know, we're prepared for this.
Discussion turned to a tough question. Graded work or ungraded enrichment activities for the rest of the school year. Kunsel says the choice was unanimous among his staff. Enrichment for K through 5, graded work for older students.
I think that's where our whole entire staff felt was, if we don't push them, what are we going to get out of this? You know, we'll just feel like we're just going through the motions too. We had some pushback from a few families about grading and whatnot. And the one thing we stayed constant of, we do not want this to be a hindrance on any student's GPA. As long as they're going to give us some effort, we're going to make sure that they get credit for this stuff, but we're also going to have high expectations for them because that's who we are as a staff. And we want our kids to meet those expectations.
My husband and I have lived in Mullen for, oh my gosh, since 1995. We moved out here to work for the Sand Hills Golf Club.
Barb Sabota is mom of two Mullen High School students, a Mullen School Board member, and a Nebraska Association of School Boards regional director. From all these perspectives, she says grading was the right call.
I'm really glad we went with what we did. I don't feel like at this point, at least at the high school level, that they've missed so much that they would have to add days to their school year next year or extend their day longer or anything like that. I feel like they're going to be pretty on track. And I think that choosing grading really helped with that. We've had a lot of Zoom calls with board members in the region, and some of them that went with just enrichment were trying to change back to grading because they were having such a hard time holding their kids accountable.
It's not the common choice. A survey of Nebraska school administrators found only 18% maintaining the regular grading system through the spring semester, what Mullen is doing for grades 6 through 12. Taylor Sabota is Barb's daughter and a Mullen sophomore.
I'm glad we're still being graded just because I know a lot of kids, including myself, it's just hard to want to do the work all the time to like the best of your ability when it's not graded.
High school teachers we talked with like having the graded work. Students have mixed feelings. Here's senior Madison Jones.
It's kind of back and forth. Since I'm invested in my academics, it hasn't affected me that much, but I know a lot of students here who that is really hard for them. So it's hard when your grade goes down so much since you're not in school and you don't have the teachers physically there to help you.
Doors closed, parameters set, time for innovation, creativity, and problem solving to kick in.
Show of hands who has the materials that I sent you in an email. I think they're all in most houses. Awesome. So this is super fun. I don't remember.
Wearing a white lab coat and safety glasses, science teacher Sarah Harden starts her Chem 1 class with an experiment on intermolecular forces.
So I'm going to take you to my lab. Are you guys excited to see my home lab? You didn't even know I had a lab at home, did you? I'm going to take you there. It's on the floor.
Yep, the floor of the guest bedroom in her home. It's now her classroom. The Wi-Fi is better here than the kitchen.
All right.
Important because Harden and her 14 students are all doing the same experiment remotely using the Zoom video conferencing platform. They all have enough water to cover a half inch of a cookie sheet. cut a notch out of a small rectangular piece of paper to create a boat, put the boat in the water, put a drop of dish soap in the cutout, and see how fast the boat moves across the pan.
Here's the most important part, though. Why did that work? I gotta get off the floor. Hold on.
Harden took a non-traditional path to teaching. She got a bachelor's degree in biology, joined her husband in Mullen, worked at a bank for a while, then moved to the classroom, later earning a master's in biology. Now she teaches mostly advanced science classes. Safe to say, virtual experiments are a necessity, not her dream.
Every day I strive to get kids out of their desks, doing science and doing hands-on projects. So this was a complete flip for me, and it's a struggle. What I've found through my years of teaching is kids don't get excited about science unless they get to do it. Talking about an explosion is a lot different than getting to blow something up, because that's what every teenager wants to do.
Harden's also had students extract DNA from strawberries.
So, yeah, I've spent a lot of time digging, trying to find at-home versions of things that are safe and fun and still apply to whatever content we're learning at the time.
Sometimes that means hand-delivering supplies to students who don't have them.
In a matter of a few days, I had to completely kind of flip the way that I teach.
Hey, Kyan.
Hey.
Hey, Kara.
Hi, how are you?
Good, how are you?
Good.
We left off. We need to start on 21.
Melody McDowell teaches third and fourth grade math and other fourth grade subjects. Zooming from her dining room table in her home on the outskirts of Mullen with fourth grader Kyan Keneally and his mom.
Remind you what you needed to do.
The Keneally's are one of those families that live 30 or so miles away and have another house in town where they're at today to review math work.
Got to go through and check it.
1 + 3 = 6 = 1 + 3 = 6.
Yes. Okay, then your exit ticket for 21.
2 + 7 = 9. Mixed number is 1 and 1/8.
Yes.
McDowell came to Mullen 20 years ago for her first teaching job and never left.
Right now, I have a class meeting with my fourth graders 2 days a week. We meet as a class on Google Hangouts. Then I have individual meeting times scheduled with each fourth grader, and some of the third graders do that as well with me. We meet individually at least once a week so that we can go over all their work that's completed. It's definitely been a crazy roller coaster. We were trying to figure out what's the most critical, important things for those kids to learn. How much is too much to send home? What format are we going to do it in? Can third and fourth graders, are they capable of getting on here and doing some lessons online?
2 + 1/2 = 2 1/2.
Yes.
What does Kyan Keneally think about all this?
It's kind of weird from like regular school because we don't have like a desk that we like lift up, and it's not that we don't like have a screen to learn off of.
I have a dog. I like to jog with my dog.
Some Mullen parents are also getting creative. That's kindergartner Kendall Phipps. We introduced you to her family a bit ago, the folks who ranch a ways from school. Jordan Phipps, her mom, wrote Kendall's reading assignment in blue marker on their dining room window, which looks out at an outbuilding in the vastness of the sandhills.
Good job. Okay, now circle each vowel that you see. What are your vowels?
A, E, I, O, U.
Can you circle those, please? So, Kaisley, what are we going to do first?
We'll get spray.
Abandoned duck eggs found by their grandfather became a science experiment. Every day, Kendall and her third grade sister, Kaisley, dampen, turn, and check the temperature of the eggs, trying to incubate them in a hay-filled box under a heat lamp.
You want to check the temperature?
Mm-hmm.
What temperature do the eggs need to kind of stay at?
90, between 90 and 100.
Kendall, what's it at?
98.
So are we good?
Yes.
Do another one.
For Jordan, it's a chance to make their ranch a classroom for her kids.
So my kids, they get to do their schoolwork in the morning, and then they get to go out and they get to experience the calving world, which maybe they didn't get to experience in the years past because they were always at school and they didn't get home till 5 o'clock at night. And they were just kind of ranch kids on the weekends. But now I feel like they're getting so much more out of the ranch, which is such a life skill that maybe they're not picking up in town.
I think throughout this process, you just see more creativity.
Says Mullen School Superintendent Chris Kunzel.
I think teachers in general, the whole education profession, I think there's a lot of creativity and a lot of perseverance and a can-do attitude and get this done and how can we make this happen. I think this is just maybe spotlighted it a little bit more because we have to do things like that. So how do we do a science experiment without being in school?
But before you get the idea that this is a great new way to deliver education, let's talk about challenges. For starters, students are home all day with lots of stuff, sometimes with parents who are also home with lots of stuff, especially the parents or teachers. There's a lot of creative use of space going on.
I mean, I have school stuff kind of scattered throughout my entire house at this point.
So we've pretty much commandeered our dining room table and floor, and it's scattered everywhere.
We made the living room our own little classroom, and there's stuff everywhere, but it's been working.
A bigger issue for some is connectivity. Keep in mind, this is a part of the state where cell service isn't a given.
We live in the middle of nowhere, as you've probably heard.
Riley Kessler, a Mullen senior, lives on a ranch that's about 45 minutes drive time from school. Limited internet access. So here's what Riley and his eighth grade brother had to do when remote learning became a thing.
There's this big hill 10 miles from our house, and me and my little brothers were driving there every day, and we had a hotspot on a tablet that we were using our Chromebooks on. And so we'd spend 3 hours up there doing homework, doing Zoom calls, and all that.
After 3 weeks of troubleshooting, a different Wi-Fi router at home finally shortened the drive to Sarah Harden's science class.
I know that first day he called in and was sitting in his recliner in his house, everybody was cheering for him.
But by that time, we were 3 weeks in and we were already behind. It didn't take near as long as I thought, probably because a lot of the teachers were merciful in that aspect. They knew what our situation was and were kind of trying whatever they could to help us. And whether that was delaying late grades for us or what, they helped us out greatly.
Melody McDowell and Sarah Harden say they're trying to make this work for all their students.
I think some of them have some trouble with bandwidth sometimes. I know one of them had talked about they have a couple older kids and not all three can get on at once. And so they have to divvy up their time with whose Zoom meeting gets to go now.
I do have another student that I've been doing paper copies for. His mom comes to town and picks everything up and delivers his work. There's been some lousy internet connections some days, but we make it work. And the kids have been great about just making things work.
Other challenges that come with this new normal: time management, keeping a routine, organization, balancing parenting, working and teaching at the same time, feeding kids who aren't normally around all day. Understanding a lot of these students also work a lot of hours on the family ranch, and it's calving season. Trying to figure out how much to assign, how much to expect. Harden, who's also a parent.
I think that's a concern with a lot of parents is what's this going to look like when we come back to school, and will my kids miss out on anything important? Because they will miss out on stuff, but can they get caught up?
And that lack of connecting, communicating face-to-face with students. Again, here's Harden and McDowell.
So are they frustrated? Are they stressed out? Do they have questions? You're not seeing them in school.
Even though you get to see them and you talk to them, it's different than being face to face. There is a lot to communication that's not just words over a camera. You can tell how a kid's day is going when they walk in your classroom in the morning, and you can't see that on a computer screen.
We're all kind of zoomed out, but I'm really glad that we had the ability to be able to, you know, quote unquote, see each other.
Does that make sense so far?
Megan Anderson spends a lot of time on Zoom as Mullen's guidance counselor and an English teacher. She gave her students, grades 6, 10, and 11, this task.
My assignment that I have for them is they have to journal 3 times a week about how this whole entire school closure, COVID, and everything has affected their lives. I read a lot of their stuff every day. It helps me gauge where the kids are with their mental health and their frustration and stuff. They're all struggling. And the biggest thing that they're struggling with is the normalcy. I think they all miss their friends a lot. That's definitely a theme that goes through all of their journals.
Normalcy. For senior Madison Jones, class salutatorian and one of the town kids, normal was nonstop. Get up at 6:30, get to school by 7:45, 5 periods of classes, lunch, 3 more class periods, 2 hours of sports practice, volleyball, basketball, and track, meetings for extracurricular activities, supper with her family, homework or hanging out with friends, bed.
It was pretty much sleep, eat, school, work, a little bit of social time, and then see as a student athlete. But now, wake up probably at the beginning of this, 8 o'clock, and I'd sit down and do my schoolwork right away. And then around lunchtime, I'd go eat. And most of the time, since we have so much downtime with all of this, I would stop doing my homework and just kind of spread it out over the overall days. I'm kind of going stir crazy. So I always just felt pretty chill with school, even though I was so busy. But now that I realize I'm not doing stuff all the time, it's hard to stay disciplined. You try so hard, but then when you get all your homework done and you're just in here, it's terrible.
Being away from school means different things for different Mullen students. Third grader Kaisley Phipps talks about the good, the bad, and her day. She's the ranch kid with the Duck Egg Project.
It's fun because you get to have like really long recesses and you're going to play with everything and spend time with my family. You don't get to like play with your friends or anything. You don't get to see your teachers. We might pull a baby calf. We have to roll our duck eggs. I have to check on my kittens. And I have to make a card for my teacher's friend because she's retiring.
I have 17 fifths equals 3 2/5.
Yes.
Then 19 thirds equals 6 1/3.
Yes.
Fourth graders Emerson Thorberg and Kyan Keneally took a quick break from Zoom meetings with math teacher Melody McDowell to talk about things they're missing.
My teacher and my friends and just doing normal schoolwork. It's kind of hard to stay on track.
My original teacher, but I like my mom as a teacher too.
Sophomore Taylor Sabota.
It's been really weird though, I'm sure, for me and for all my classmates to not be seeing each other and communicating throughout the day, being face-to-face and kind of learning from peer-to-peer and just all online.
Madison Jane Jones.
It's a windy graduation day for Mullen's class of 2020, done the way things are done in COVID times. Wearing light gray caps and gowns, 14 seniors walk one by one for the last time through the school's main hallway.
Riley William Kessler.
Graduate names are read as they walk out the door. Superintendent Chris Kunsel hands each a diploma. A few steps to pose alone for pictures on a two-step riser, bracing against 60-mile-an-hour gusts. Only immediate family are invited, separated in designated areas of a parking lot.
I give you the Mullen graduating class of 2020.
Then a parade through town so others can stand outside and cheer, and that's about it. They're hoping to do a bigger ceremony in July. For now, doing something on the Saturday graduation was originally scheduled and making the best of the situation. But like the rest of the spring, Kunsel says lots of things are missing for these seniors.
They're losing so much over this. They lost a whole season of sports. They're losing their awards banquets. They're losing their last 9 weeks as a high school student, walking the halls. All of a sudden, that was just ripped from them.
My name is Molly Paxton. I'm a senior at Mullen High School, and I live south of Mullen on a ranch.
It was the last day of school for seniors when we talked. It just felt like some excitement was missing.
I woke up at around 7, and I've been helping my dad, and I just got back in to the house probably an hour ago, and I've just been finishing up my last assignment. I am currently drawing 11 off of Stranger Things for a fan art project, a pencil drawing. After this interview, I'm going to go help my dad feed some cattle. And other than that, I'll probably just wind down with my family tonight.
Paxton is good at lots of things. Class valedictorian, for starters. A couple years ago, she lobbied the school board to start a cross-country team, then medaled at state last fall. But track is her passion. As a junior, she won the Class D 2-mile and finished second in the mile. She worked harder than ever to be ready for an even better track season this spring.
It was super hard to get to March and get preparing for my first week of practice, and then everything just kind of being taken away without any chance at all. So that's probably the hardest part, is having to say goodbye before I could even say hello.
Paxton is headed to UNL next fall to study biological sciences with an eye on medical school. She says if all this had to happen, she's glad she was in tight-knit Mullen when it happened.
Nobody asked for this, but we've done a very, very good job with what we've had. And it's been a roller coaster, but it's also been pretty successful. So I'm grateful for that.
Riley Kessler, the senior who drove to the top of the hill to get Wi-Fi, spent part of his last day of high school branding cattle with friends.
This time you're out in the middle of somebody's pasture doing work and you're like, hey, it's my last day. I miss just being in the school, seeing the teachers and being able to have their help when I needed it or anything like that. And definitely seeing my friends. Not having our prom was definitely not very much fun.
At the end of the summer, Kessler heads to Mississippi for Army National Guard basic training. Madison Jones is also headed to UNL in the fall as a secondary education major leaning towards biology, a future teacher who got a crash course in remote education this spring.
Just how both the positives and the negatives of technology, every year, I mean, we add more technology into our education and stuff. So I think it is really important to include that with our students because it can be so helpful. And I want to do that as an educator. But at the same, I just feel it's more beneficial for students to learn hands-on things physically with them seeing it without the technology. What I'm going to take away is how important it is for us to not use technology while we can, so students can still have something without that in their lives.
A lot of what-ifs were answered in the Mullen School District these last 2 months. Bedrooms became classrooms, floors became science labs, hills became Wi-Fi hotspots. Lessons that could help the school turn a future snow day into an e-learning day, for example, or better adapt if COVID-19 or some other pandemic happens again. An unplanned experiment in remote learning in remote Nebraska that no one is really anxious to repeat.
It's just one of those things where it's definitely one for the history books.
Thanks to NET audio engineer Vena Altus for putting this together, and thanks to many Mullen educators, parents, and students for sending us sound, video, and pictures to help tell the story. Speaking of pictures, you'll find lots of them on the webpage for this NET Radio What If project, and listen to this documentary again if you want. The address is netnebraska.org/remote learning. I'm Mike Tobias. Thanks for listening to Remote Learning in Remote Nebraska.